So having introduced himself to Titus now, the introduction to the letter, Paul gets straight down to the substance and he says, I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remained to be done and should appoint elders. One could translate that presbyters. One could use the word priests, as long as you know the way that, the word priest comes straight from presbyter. P-R-S-T, it's just a flattening of the word presbyter. That's where we get the word. So we'll use keep with elders, that's the word used here. You should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, it's the first time in any of Paul's letters that he has actually used the word elders. So my aim now is to take you through what we know from the New Testament about organisational leadership in the Pauline communities and in other communities. That's the aim of this next 15 minutes. It's an interesting study. It's got its importance. And I'll just give you all the evidence we've got. So let's begin now. The dates, of course, are approximate. They're the dates I've been giving you all the time. But in 48 AD, in southern Galatia, Luke tells us that on their first missionary outreach from Antioch, Barnabas and Paul, now I quote from the Acts, appointed elders, presbyteroi, same word, in each church. That's Acts chapter 14, verse 23. So right from the beginning, this word appears as the name given for those who have organizational leadership in the Christian community, right back from Paul's first missionary journey. But it's Luke writing and not Paul. Take my point? So the Christians in Crete, like the communities of southern Galatia, had close connections with the Jewish communities, and so they organized themselves along the same lines. Jewish communities were organized with presbyters, elders, presbyteroi in Greek, as the leaders of the local Jewish synagogue. That was the word they used, meaning the older men who ran the synagogue. Obviously, when Jews became Christians, they just followed the same system. What else would you do? It's the system they're used to. So that's a hint that this community here is probably largely Jewish. That's in 48 AD. 49 AD, in Thessalonica, we hear Paul writing back to the Thessalonians after he's arrived in Corinth, and he says to them in the first letter, chapter 5, we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labour among you and have charge of you. He doesn't actually give them any technical term. Those who have charge of you. The Greek is proistamenoi, literally meaning pro means first or before, and that comes from the word histemi, meaning to stand. Those who stand before you, as I am now, I guess, in the Lord, and admonish you, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Well, it won't surprise you that when Paul left Thessalonica, he left somebody behind to take over the running of the community. Running meaning the organisational running of the community. There's leadership in every field. Leadership in love is the main one. Everyone can do that. If you're ambitious to be a leader, become a lover. Become a saint and you'll be leading. If you're mad enough to want organisational leadership, you go for it. So there's all, and you can lead in healing and lead in praying and lead in, but we're talking about organizing leadership of a community. That has special gifts attached to it, of course, and every community needs it to be able to keep functioning. That's what he's talking about there, though in that letter he doesn't actually give them a technical term. The next bit of evidence we've got comes from about 52 AD. When Paul is writing back from Ephesus to the Corinthian church, we know from that letter that there are factions in the church. I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas, remember? And they continued to look to Paul for leadership, which of course you would do once he's alive and he's just across the Aegean. So they're asking him questions. He's clearly still their leader, but that doesn't mean there's no organisation at home. Paul's letters are addressed to the whole community. They're not addressed to the bishop or the priest or the deacon or anyone in charge. He talks to the whole community. But he does say in there, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. This is the important apostles, those who have the connection with sent by the risen Christ. The prophets are those who listen to the spiritual word being spoken now in the community. So listening to God is the key thing, and teachers are those who explain the prophecies and explain the tradition to the community. These are the key gifts. But then he goes on to talk about other gifts in the community, and he includes among them forms of leadership. And there's the Greek kubernesis. And if you put a G for the K and a V for the B, and that's how language works, that's governing. That's the word used for the tiller on a boat. You pull it this way and the boat goes that way. You pull it that way and the boat goes this way. It's the thing that directs, the guberna in Greek, in Latin, or kubernes. So these are those who, that's another gift, the forms of leadership, though he doesn't give them a technical term. Those exercising ministry have this gift of organisation, responsible for directing the community according to God's will. The next bit of evidence we have comes from a few years later, from his letter to the Romans, written from Corinth in 57 AD. And in this letter, he speaks, as he did to the Thessalonians, of those who have the ministry of being a leader, again, prohistamenos. And he exhorts them to carry out their ministry efficiently and conscientiously. Spoude means know-how, a thing that the Corinthians were very good at. It's like when you're handling money, some people are good at it and know where to put it and how to organise. And there are special gifts that go with good organisation, as you well know. And if you have someone holding the tiller who hasn't got a clue what the direction you're going in, or is going blooming nowhere, or has fallen asleep holding the tiller, well, what's the point of rowing? You're putting all your energy and you're just going around in great circles. So it is a gift, and we've got to pray that people with that gift actually hold the tiller. And there's all kinds of ways in the church's history of organising that, and we'll never get it right. But we might never get it fully wrong either. We've got to work at it. But so that's okay. That's 57 AD. On the same year, now I'm going to Luke, however, 57 AD, when Paul left Corinth, had to go overland up and picked up Luke and went to Troas and journeyed down to Miletus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. We're told that he was addressing, he's addressing the elders of the church of Ephesus. He's our word again, presbyteroi, the elders. And he says to these elders, this is quite important for our letter, he says to the elders, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you, you elders, overseers. Yeah, the word overseer is episkopoi, skopos, you know, from periscope, telescope. It means seeing, and epi means over. So literally an episkopos is an overseer. That's what it means. But episkopos, if you put a B for the P, you've got bishop. This is where our words come from, you see. And words are words, but that's where they come from. So he's calling the priests, the presbyter, priest. Do you see what I'm trying to do? Just take the word. He's calling them bishops. So don't think they're necessarily different people. They're different words, because the obvious, if you happen to be a presbyter in a largely Jewish Christian community, your job is to oversee. So why not call you an episkopos? We're not talking about different people, we're talking different words for the functions that are there. And he also asks them to shepherd the church of God, poimeno, from which we get our word pastor. So in one little phrase, Acts chapter 20, 28, these men, because of the culture of the day, who had this function of organizational leadership are called presbyters, bishops, and pastors in one sentence. Who cares the word? Let's get the reality, and all those words are good for what we're talking about. 59 AD, that's the letter on, that's my suggested date for the letter to the Ephesians, which is not to the Ephesians, but to all the Gentiles in the East. Now that letter, written from Caesarea, I suggest, Paul is particularly interested in that letter in unity in the church. And he highlights those ministries which Christ gives to the church to form it as his body, listing apostles, prophets, evangelists. In the other one it was apostles, prophets, teachers. Here he talks about evangelists, which is those who teach the gospel or spread the gospel. It might be more of a word used for people who move around rather than the local teacher, but the one who goes out, like the missionary. But that's a word, and the meaning of the word is clear. Then he goes on to add those ministries which Christ gives the church for its maintenance. And in that list, which you'll find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he includes pastors. We've just had the word in Luke, those who look after the flock. It's an old word right through the, because of David was a shepherd, wasn't he? And so right through the whole Old Testament, this word often comes back, the shepherd. And teachers, he talks about them. And he talks, when he talks about all these ministries, I'm just noting he doesn't use the word bishop, and he doesn't use the word episkopos, he doesn't use the word presbyteros, but he's talking about the leaders in that way. Each of the, what's their job? Each of the ministries makes a contribution to equip the saints, the community. That's what it's all about, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So if anyone in your community or mine has the gift of organizational leadership, and please don't ever forget this, and I hope I don't, the whole purpose of it is to equip the community to be missionary. It's not to maintain the group. It's not to keep 100 coming to the Last Supper or the Mass or the Eucharist rather than letting it drop to 98. I mean, let's do that. But the purpose of it is to, if I were the priest in your community, my only purpose in being is to see that all the different ideas that you've got can be welcomed if they're right and corrected if they're wrong, to get people to love one another as Christ has loved you, and to inspire and help and discern each one's gift. You don't do it on your own, but that's your job. So that each person in the community becomes a lover, a Christ person, an evangelist, to go out and to love those in need. And if everyone was doing that, of course you wouldn't be worried about the church getting smaller and smaller, and you wouldn't have room for it. It would get bigger and bigger, because who can resist being loved? So, but we've got to be real about it, and everyone's got their gift of doing it. And I don't have to say this, but the priest doesn't know how to do it. He may know something about something, because he is somebody. But you're the one who's lost a child. You're the one who can go to the hospital and help a woman who's just lost a child. I can't. I can, but I can't. You know what I mean? You're the one who's been divorced. So you're the one who can say to someone, okay, there's life after divorce. You're the one who's been faithful in a difficult marriage. Do you see? Everyone has their gift. You're the nurse. You're the person who's been through a lot of pain, you're the person who's been through a constant depression, so you're the one who can help me when I'm depressed. Whereas I can help you too, because I've had depression, but there's a lot of things I haven't had. So we can all help each other according to our gifts. Somebody has to be there to see that someone over here isn't dominating, or isn't pushing other people down, isn't speaking too loud, or running every meeting, or always having their voice heard, and there's other beautiful voices that are never heard. You get me? Yeah. Someone has to hold the tiller. Someone has to just see that, like in an orchestra, if the bloomin' drum is making too much noise and you can't hear the violins, you're not going to enjoy the music. Someone has to lento, allegretto, whatever it is, all the other words in it, to keep so that the beauty is apparent. I've gone on a bit, haven't I? But that is surely the job of leadership, not to run the thing or tell everybody what to do or to be a bottleneck that stops anything happening because it's clogged. Oh, I wish I'd listened to my own.